Luke chapter 9, and don't think about food, because I did during Sunday school and it ruined the whole thing, all right? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to be starting in verse 12. Going through verse 17 today. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 12. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away that they may go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless perhaps," you're going to love that, "unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each." They did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power that you exhibited through your son Jesus while in human form. Father God, he never ceased to be God, but yet he was completely, fully man here on earth. And Lord, what it says in Philippians, he set aside what he looked like in heaven. He set that aspect aside and the utilization of his power. Father God, what he said because you gave it to him, because he was listening to you. What he did, the power that was exhibited by him was through the power of the Spirit. Lord, he never used his own, because Father God, he was showing us how to depend upon you. He was showing us a life of dependency. We love you. Thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we serve a God who can handle impossible situations, who can lead us through illogical situations, who is still in charge. Thank you for your love. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Luke, the only Gentile apostle, has written this book, the book of Luke, to show the humanity of Christ, to show the importance of the humanity of Christ. And he did so to be very precise. He wanted it to be a precise version of his life. We looked at the forecast of the births of John and of Jesus, and the birth of John and birth of Jesus. How it happened, how it was foretold, and yet it happened. The ministry John had, the baptism of Jesus, and the ministry that Jesus had. He chose his 12. He did the Sermon on the Mount. He did all of these things, and he was showing his power through all this. He was showing the truth that God was working through him, through the miracles that he was doing. The power that he was portraying. He even brought back the little girl from the dead, the little 12-year-old girl. So you have all these miracles. You have the power that was shown to show that the message that he was giving was true. And then he sends out the 12. He sends them out in that region. Not a huge region. We don't know exactly how long they were out. But he sends them out with the power to heal people. The power to say, "You're healed," and the disease would leave them. The power to free people from demons, demonic activity, to cast out demons. So they had all of this power. And they went out and they were preaching the kingdom of God. And they were excited about it because they still believed that the kingdom of God was a physical kingdom and Christ was going to be the king here on earth. Physically, and they were going to get to be his leaders. We see that later on, but why they were thinking that. But they were still seeing it as a physical kingdom. But they had all of this power. And when you go out with all of that power, people start looking at you special, right? I mean, hey, these guys, if I'm sick, I can go to them. They'll heal me. So they were gaining a following. So when they came back to Christ, when they came back to see Jesus, there was a lot of people. There was a lot of confusion. We looked at that last week. Confusion about who this Jesus was. I mean, Herod was getting all sorts of mixed signals. Well, it's John? Well, no, I had John beheaded. That'd be really hard to have be John. Well, is it Elijah? Is it another prophet? So the people were confused. The people were wanting the Messiah. They thought, well, maybe Jesus was the forerunner to the Messiah. Or maybe these guys were. They were going out preaching. But all of these people followed the disciples back. So the same day when they got back, Jesus said, let's go out to this desolate place so you can rest, so you can deprogram, so you can, because they were excited. They had to be excited about all of this. But when they went out, all of these people came. And what we learn in the other books, Matthew, Mark, and John, is that there were 5,000 men plus women and children. So most likely, there was between 15 and 25,000 people now following Jesus, which was massive. 15 to 25,000, think about that. And these guys had gone out separately and had some crowds, but nothing like this. They'd all come back. They'd all come together. And Jesus felt compassion for them, and he started working with them. So he had taken the disciples out to deprogram, to help them, and yet all the people came, and he felt compassion. So he went with them. He encouraged them. So what we looked at last week was the fact that Christ can work through us to touch others. And sometimes what's happening to us is not about us. Sometimes it's about helping someone else. But what I want to look at today is the power portrayed. The same group of people. He had been teaching. He had been preaching to them and teaching them and healing the sick, casting out demons, whatever. He had been doing this all day long. And look what happened in verse 12. Going to look at the problem stated, verse 12. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place. The day was ending. In other words, the sun was not on the incline, it was on the decline. The sun was going down, so it was sometime in the afternoon. This afternoon was wearing on. And look at what they said. They said, verse 12, they said, send the crowd away. Send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside. Send the crowd away. That word send the crowd away is actually just one word. And it's apaluo, which means to come out from under or from the top down. In other words, apa is over and luo is to let go, to loose. So he says, what the disciples are saying is, let them loose. Let them go. You have the authority. They're going to listen to you. Let them go. You're the top. Let them go. Turn them loose. Dismiss them. Which was all for good reason. But what's interesting is, it's in the active voice, but imperative, which means it's like a command. So here were the disciples, and they had just gone out, they had just performed miracles, they had just done wonderful things, and they had been with him all day. They were tired, they had been with him all day. They had a huge, massive crowd here, and they said, you know what, you need to send them away. Do it. Just do it. It's an imperative. It's almost like a command. Jesus, do this. This is the only logical solution. They are hungry. They need a place to stay. all of these are human necessities. They are hungry. They need a place to stay. From a human standpoint, this is the logical response. You need to do what's logical. You need to do what's right. Can you imagine? Think about this. And we'll look at it in a minute. But says, you need to do what's right, what's logical. Why? Well, because it's a desolate place. Look what it says. Verse 12, the end of it. It says, for here we are in a desolate place. Doesn't mean we were in the desert. They had grass to sit on. It means they were out away from the towns, away from anything large enough to feed 20,000 people. Anything with any chance to take care of that many people. So it was very illogical to try and feed her. It was very illogical. It was an impossible task. So Jesus' following was getting larger and larger because he had sent out the 12 and now they had come. It was getting larger. Now he's going to address that. In 2 weeks, we're going to look at how he addresses that. Okay? But here, he wanted to teach something particular. The disciples' point was the people need to take care of their physical needs. This is too big a problem for us. Catch that? This is too big a problem for us. So, look at the human solution. Verse 13. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Now, what's interesting about that, you give them something to eat, it's the exact same, the exact same construction, word construction, as when they said, send them away. The exact same thing. It's in the aorist tense, active voice, and it's an imperative. So they had said, look, right now, you need to send them away. Jesus turned around and said, right now, you give them something to eat. Can you imagine Christ? Right now, you do it. Don't tell me what they need. You take care of that need. And I love the response because that's a lot like our response. All right? Look at the response. Verse 13. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know what? This whole thing, and I hate to tell you now because I'm telling you the end of the story. But this whole thing is not about feeding 20,000 people. The whole thing is that the disciples needed something to learn. The ones following Christ already, the ones devoting themselves to Christ already, needed to learn something, needed to catch something. And Christ is willing to do something great for 20,000 people to help them catch this. All right, so there, told you the end of the sermon. Can we go now? No, can't yet. Don't smell anything yet. But he puts it back into their lap. Says, you do it. You feed them. In the other accounts, in Matthew, remember, Matthew, Mark, and John, all four of these Gospels have this account. And the other accounts, it says that Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to test his disciples. So the purpose behind this isn't just a feeding program. The purpose behind this is to test his disciples, to help them grow in something. So, did he do it out of compassion? Did he feed them out of compassion? Well, yes, partly. But it was more a desire to grow his disciples. If you read in John chapter 6 has the same account. And this happened, and then that night they went across the sea, and the next day these crowds figured out, hey, Jesus is gone. We want to go see him again. So they all went across, they all found him again the very next day, and they went up and said, hey, we're looking for you. We needed to find you. And he said, you know what? You're just hungry. They said, no, we want you to be our Messiah. We just need a sign. Just give us a sign. I got an idea. Moses. Remember Moses? And he had manna in the desert. Remember, that's a good sign. You could just give us manna every day. Remember? So their mindset was the welfare state. Hey, let's make this. We don't have to go work for our food. This is cool. This is great. You can be our Messiah. And you know what? Jesus didn't do it that day. He did it one day, but he didn't do it the next day. Because the purpose of the first day wasn't to feed the people, and it wasn't wrong to feed the people. He told the disciples to do it. But the purpose was to teach his followers something about himself. So in their mind, the big problem is feeding the people. In the disciples' mind, this is the huge problem. This is the massive problem. In Jesus' mind, the big problem was the faith of the disciples. And he was using that to teach them. So, We go on with the story. It wasn't really to provide a meal. The disciples' response, so I love the disciples' response. Look at this, because this is just amazing. It says, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, how did they know that? Well, Andrew, good old resourceful Andrew, went looking out in the crowd. Here's 20,000 people out there. Surely somebody has some food. Well, there was one mother. One mother that thought ahead for her kid and gave him 5 little barley cakes. They wouldn't have been very big. They're just little cakes is what they were, but they called them loaves here. And 2 small dried fish. 2 small dried fish. Because this kid wasn't very big, right? And so Andrew went about looking and he found these. He brought it back to his disciples. And his disciples, guess what they did? They went, okay, this is good. We have to. And I mean it. They did that because it says it here. Look what they said. That we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. Now, in the other books, it says, it would cost us probably 200 denarii to buy food for everybody. Well, 200 denarii was about a year's wages for an average laborer. 1 denarii per day. Then you have weekends off and everything. So it was a little bit less than a year, but it was about a year's. That was a huge amount of money. A huge amount of money. Now, which one of the disciples was most concerned with a huge amount of money? Judas, right? Because there was the gal with the perfume who says, oh, well, we could have taken that money that she spent on that perfume and sold the perfume and give it to the poor. And then we hear his real heart that he wanted to steal some of it, right? But the disciples were looking at this saying, you know what? This is an impossible situation. We have just gone out and performed miracles, and this is an impossible situation. And there is a definite need here, and we cannot do it. Look, here's a guy. Here's a kid with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, here's what I want you to see. Look in that verse. It says, unless, perhaps. You know what that is? In the original language, that's a mete. It's 2 words. A is a first class condition, meaning if. So if, and then mete means no way. I better find it. Response, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Mete, not, surely not. So the word if is a first class condition, which means you can put the word since in there, right? So like I would say, if the sun shines today, well, since the sun's shining today, I can look out and see the sun shining, all right? Since the sun shines. So that would make it a first-class condition. So here this word means since. So here the disciples are saying, well, since surely not, you're going to want us to go out and do this. This was almost a sarcastic remark. This construction carries the tone of sarcasm. Now you're saying, well, the disciples would never have done that. What did they just... They were tired. They had 20,000 people standing out in front of them, and they told Jesus what to do, and he said, no, you do it. Okay, well, let's come up with this wonderful solution. We'll just take all the money that we've got, and everybody will get a little taste. How about that? Because that's what it says in the other versions. We'll take all the money we've got and everybody will get this little taste, just a little taste, and they won't even get full. They won't even have enough to really satisfy them. This was what was coming out because they were starting to be more important. They were starting to feel more used of God. It's amazing, isn't it? So, you know what's funny about this? Think about it for a minute. Because here's the disciples, and Jesus said, okay, now you do it. No, you need to send these people out. No, you do it. Well, what are we going to take? Everything we've got, a year's wages? Even if we had a year's wages, everybody would just get a little taste. What had the disciples gone through? The disciples listened on the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that? And how about when they got in the boat and it was all rocking around and getting crazy and Jesus said, peace, be still. And guess what happened? The water was still.
They saw that. And they sat back and said, who is this guy who has power over nature?
Didn't connect from here to here.
And then he went into this house where the little girl was dead and the mourners were there. And he said, no, she's just asleep. And the mourners all laughed, and they laughed probably because they said, yeah, okay. And then he came out with the girl.
He had calmed the sea. He had raised the dead. He had cast out over 2,000 demons of this one person.
All of these things they had seen, but they still hadn't connected the dots. You know what? This guy has power. They hadn't connected those dots. They hadn't put it all together in their head. And then he gave them power, and they had all this authority, and they went out, and so now they could tell him what to do, right?
All right. Let's get to Jesus' illustration of authority here. Look at verse 14. For there were about 5,000 men. We talked about that. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each. Now, that was for logistics. Can you imagine trying to feed 20,000 people? It would be extremely hard. But he said, sit down from groups to 50 to 100, somewhere in there. That's what the other books say. It's still not logical. It's still not possible. This is still not something that makes any sense at all, but they said, okay, we're going to obey. We're going to do it. And they did it. And it was a test of faith. But this test of faith didn't include logic. It didn't include possibility. It didn't include anything that looked right in their mind. Now, I've got a horrible illustration of this, and it may not make a lot of sense to you, but at the time, it made a lot of sense to us. All right? This was when we were first married. We didn't even have any kids yet. That had to have been the first 11 months. Because we had been like a month before our first anniversary. So we didn't have any kids yet. And we went to Calvary, went down there. I spent all of my money first semester. Didn't have any money. So we had no kids and no money, which isn't a bad combination. But when the kids come, you kind of need a little bit of that money. But anyway, we didn't have much money. And we were down to... There was twice down there I was down to $5. I don't know whether this was one of the times, but we didn't have any fruit. And Chris loves fruit, and she likes feeding me fruit. but we didn't have any. And so we prayed, Lord, we don't have any fruit. You know, we really miss it. But hey, we can live, you know. I'm sure we had deer or something in the freezer. But we didn't have any fruit. And so, all right, Lord, that's up to you. And we went to church, and a lady there gave us a bag of fruit. She gave us a bag of fruit at church. Most illogical place to get a bag of fruit. And the gal had gone to the grocery store, and they had a Dutchman-type store down there that had old fruit, you know, for really, really, really cheap. And it wasn't that old. It was really good. But she gave us this bag of fruit, and we're going, oh, so that's how the Lord... totally illogical. I know that has nothing to do with 20,000 people. You know, that's an impossible situation. This didn't seem as impossible, but it was still not logical. And yet we were surprised. Isn't that amazing? We were surprised that this gal would give us fruit. And we're going home going, wow, we just prayed about that today. Wow, this is different. Wow. Why were we surprised? Because it's a test of faith. See, that was a little test of faith. This is a huge test of faith. This one's a huge test of faith. But these guys had done miracles themselves. These guys should have known what Jesus could do. So he said, set them all down, spread them out. He's teaching them that he is the God of the impossible. He says to trust his Father. He's teaching them to trust his Father and who Jesus really is here. Look what he does. Verse 15. So they did so. They all sat down. 16. Then he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he did 3 things. He blessed them. He broke them, and he kept giving them. He blessed them. He looked up to heaven, number one. He looked to heaven. So he drew the attention where the attention needs to be, to God the Father. And then he did 3 things. That it's in the one-time thing. He broke them. Just, you know, he broke it. He blessed it. And then he kept giving. So he broke it, and then he... And the kept giving part
is not a one-time thing. It's imperfect, which means it has happened over and over. It's continuing to happen over. So he kept giving him. He broke it, but he kept giving him. And 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 this had to have shocked them. But he had gone, he had looked to heaven where we always should look when the impossible was there. He kept giving them to his disciples. Do you notice that? He didn't give them to the people. He didn't run around and say, look what I'm giving you. He gave them to the disciples. Because it wasn't about teaching the people how to eat. It was about teaching his disciples how to trust. Teaching them, his disciples, that he can handle whatever situation comes before them. And in fact, he wanted to use them for this. And, verse 17, and they all ate. You know what that word all means? My teacher in school said, all means all, and that's all means. It means all of them. All of them. 15 to 25,000 people ate and were satisfied. I love that word. Were satisfied. You know what that is? Russ will know what that is. Christopher will know what that is. The were satisfied means when the... What happens the last, I don't know, 60 or 90 days in the feedlot? Do you just give them like a pound a piece of corn? All they want, all right? Because that's the word used. And it's actually a word that's used for fattening of animals. The fattening of animals, where they gorge. You give them all they want and they eat all they can, don't they? You want to get that fat into that meat. I don't know why you would ever want fat in the meat, but you want to get that fat into the meat. Flavor. Yeah, okay. Chris uses that one on me too. All right, but that's the actual word. The fattening of animals. The gorging of them so that they can be ready for slaughter. These people were satisfied. They weren't just, okay, well, I've had, it's kind of like today. You're going to go down there and say, oh, look, it, I've got a little piece of turkey. That's plenty. And then behind your back, you've got all the pies, right? All right? It's when you leave today, you should not be able to walk out the door. You should be able to roll. She knows me. You should be rolling out the door, right? That's the word. That's what the word means. It means that they were so full, they could not even eat another bite. That's the actual meaning of the word. So you get down to the end of it. Look what it says. And which the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up. 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full. Why do you think he put that in there? They went and picked it up. And every disciple had a basket full of proof that God could answer. They had a whole basket. Every disciple had one basket full of stuff that they looked down and they said, God can do this. They went across the sea. God can do that. They watched the little girl get healed. God can do that. They looked in their basket and said, maybe I shouldn't have been so sarcastic. Maybe I shouldn't have assumed with God. Maybe I shouldn't have told God what to do my way. I shouldn't have handled the situation my way. Maybe I should have let God handle it his way through me. This whole thing was not about feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. This whole thing was about teaching his disciples to trust him. And you know what? They were with him every day. They were learning from him every day, and they still had a problem. That gives us an excuse, right? Well, that gives us, because they were right there with him and he was right there with them. And guess what? We get that attitude sometimes too. Lord, answer my prayer now. Lord, answer my prayer my way. Father, heal this person. Father, help this relationship. Father, I'm not even going to say what happens to the car, because Lucy will throw something at me. But Lord, if you don't do this, then how can you say you're God if you aren't doing what I'm telling you to do? You get that attitude? Well, yeah, I know you can do something when somebody's sick or when the nation is bad or when this, you know, but why would you ever want to? Well, maybe it's because you need to recognize that you can trust God in the midst of the problem. In the midst of this huge, massive problem, these disciples should have known they could trust Jesus. They didn't. They knew they could trust him. They just didn't think they could trust him that much. God will always make your problem bigger to help you trust more. I shouldn't say that. That's wrong. That came out. God doesn't make our problems bigger. We kind of make our problems bigger, don't we? Because we don't trust in the first place. If the disciples would have come to Jesus and said, "How are you going to do it, Lord? We know you're going to do something great. How are you going to do it?" He might have said, "Send them away to the villages so they can find something to eat, would you?" I doubt it. Because he wanted them to learn that. You know, there's a lot we can learn. Because we come across situations where we don't understand, where we don't have a clue how this is going to work out. We want to tell God how to make it work out so that I can feel better in it, so it looks better to me, so that it makes sense to me, so that it's logical, so that it's possible. Send them out. Send them out to the villages. That makes sense to me. That's logical. That's possible. Jesus said, "No, you do it. You learn from this. You do this." He did that to his disciples because they were devoted to him. They were learning. They were wanting. And folks, if you've trusted in Christ, you're devoted to him. When you're devoted to him, he may teach you something that you think is illogical, because he wants you to know how much you can trust him. You can trust him. Look what he did. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he fed thousands of people. That's just a little drop of what he can do, okay? That's just a little drop of what he can do, what he's capable of. He can heal you. He can touch you. He can use you in your sickness. He can use you in your problem. He can use you to touch somebody else that won't step foot in this church but needs to see Jesus Christ. He can use you. That's an impossible situation. And yet he does it. He does it every day. But when he does use you, when he does do something great through you, don't presume that you know everything and can tell God what to do. Pride goes before destruction, even with a Christian. When we get proud, we get destroyed. Humility is what God wants to build in all of us. He sent them out. There had to be something building up in them because they thought they could tell Jesus what to do. Guess what? He is smarter than they are. He is still smarter than we are. He is still in control. But you know what? You can trust him. You can trust him. Even if in an impossible situation, you can trust your Father. You know why? Because he loves you. He absolutely loves you. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Trust him. Learn that humility. These guys still lacked true understanding. You know, next week we're going to find out that they thought they knew who Jesus was. Jesus, and it looks like they did, but they still lacked a true understanding. And as the story goes on, we're going to see that. But their immediate need, the people's immediate need, was legitimate. But it wasn't an eternal need. And the eternal need is what Jesus went after. We need to constantly remember the spiritual nature of our mission here. It's eternal. Eternal. It's not just temporary. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ, you need to know that God loves you. That he wants you so bad to be his child. If you have trusted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then know this. You can trust him in the midst of an impossible situation. Just remember whose child you are. You're not in charge of him. He is in charge of you. Come under his authority. Let's close in prayer.